My biggest regret, one of them from my playing career, is that I didn't create content when I was playing. I posted, you know, like the one Instagram post every 3 weeks where like you're walking on the field, you think you look good, but.
Every opportunity I've gotten has been through what I've built. And the more you do, like the more opportunities come from it. And I 100% was probably the youngest. There weren't a lot of females, but that gave me, like it made me feel empowered that I can be one of the only females and I can be a role model for these younger girls.
First time I got recognized in public where it wasn't like, oh, the football player, it was the TikToker. You know, that was an interesting moment where I realized that this is getting traction.
They're looking at this next generation of digital talent for their business.
Next up.
All right, big news. We dropped our merch at Mercury, the college sports company. We have college football tees, college basketball tees, the perfect gift for anyone in your life and perfect for you. I wear them all the time, whether it's on podcasts, whether it's working out. I love the college football tee. So click on the link in the description or go to shop.teammercury.io. That's shop.teammercury.io and use my code AdamB15 for 15% off your purchase. Code AdamB for 15% off your purchase. And guys, you buying our merch supports me, supports our company, and allows me to go around and have the best guests on our podcast. So get some of the best merch you can get in college sports, college football, college basketball. We have tees for our podcast. We have hats. We have sweatshirts, everything you could possibly want. Shop.teammercury.io. Code AdamB for 15% off your purchase.
All right. So we're here with Adam Brenneman and Katie Feeney, two people that have definitely ties to Penn State, two people that are currently content creators, one former athlete at the college level. So let's just start from the top. Like, who are you? Why are you here today? And give a little background on yourself.
Me first? Love it. So I'm Adam Brenneman. I went to Penn State, played football here, ended up transferring and played at UMass, but really loved my time at Penn State, and it's awesome to be back and appreciate everyone being here. I mean, the fact that as a student you're taking your time out on a Friday to be here and educate yourself and learn more about sports is awesome. And you were talking about the committee that put this on. Alex, you started this whole thing, so appreciate you for starting this. You know, I'm a content creator, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a broadcaster. And the theme for me in my career as a creator is that everything I've done always starts with content. Every opportunity I've had, everything I've done, whether it's television, whether it's business, whether it's deals, and Katie, I'm sure you feel the same way, it always comes back to, I saw your videos, I saw your podcast, it's always about the content. And I've learned through that there's power in having attention online and on social media, and that's why I've gone all in on it. So I'm excited to talk to you all today and answer some questions.
I'm Katie Feeney. I'm currently a junior at Penn State. Definitely adding on to what Adam said, everything stems from content. I've been creating content since middle school, but never really got into sports until I came here and started working with Penn State football social media and fell in love with it. I've been creating content ever since, studying journalism as well, so I can kind of learn the basis and have a backup plan. I think that's really important. That's why I'm here. But it's been really cool to see how fast the sports industry is moving into the social media realm, and I think it's only the beginning, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think, honestly, just to even take a step back, because the industry is so new and I get hundreds of questions about this weekly, daily, how do you even define content creator? What is your guys' definition for that?
It's a great question. I would say content creator, it's different for a lot of different people. The way I create content is very different than how Katie creates content. I think it's someone who's a creator, someone who puts themselves and puts content online consistently. And I would say, I think the part that a lot of people may not realize about being a content creator is how much it's actually like running a business as well. You know, you're actually operating a small company where it's really your content is the product that you're selling. And so much of what I do on a day-to-day basis, and I'm sure what Katie does, is actually talk to businesses and deal with brands and figure out selling yourself and pitching yourself. I work with Alex's agency and like working with Alex on how we're approaching the market and trying to get brand deals and trying to get opportunities. So it's a lot more than it's a lot more on the business side than I think people realize.
Yeah, 100%. Everything with social media all is for me is building my own personal brand, and everything I do from this point forward, I really want to be conscious of, and is it going to help me in my career and the longevity of it? Or is it something short term might sound cool in the moment, but will it pay off in the long run? So yeah, I mean, it definitely is very, I'm very cautious about what I put online, and I've kind of always been that way. I very clean what I put out there, very like family friendly, but and from a brand's perspective, it's really helped me out, and it may have taken me longer to grow my platform and get to where I am. Like I said, I've been doing it way too long since middle school, but I'm finally at the point now where like I can be picky about what brands I want to work with, and I don't have to feel like I want to do all these like one-off deals.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think what I see a little bit with the creator economy today is that creators and digital talent are the next athlete. They're the next celebrity. They're the next artist or musician. Now, because of social media, because of having an iPhone or any sort of technology, you can post content on Instagram, on TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, whatever platform. And if you have consistency, all of a sudden you can build an audience, right? And now there's creators that have more of a following than some of the biggest football players, or have a bigger following than some basketball players, or it doesn't have to be a bigger following. They might have a more engaged following. And what I think everyone's starting to realize, and Adam, you can probably touch on this, is that if you're a college athlete right now in this world of NIL, right, everyone's talking about name, image, and likeness and how college athletes are going to make all this money. What I'm most excited about is that most of the college athletes that are competing and playing and in this NIL space, they're actually not going to make it professionally, right? We hear about the Caitlin Clarks of the world and the best athletes, but we don't always hear about the college athletes who don't make it professionally, but they just spend 1, 2, 3, or 4 years building content, and now they have a transition ahead of them. And I feel like, Adam, you are the prime example of what that transition is and how you took being an athlete at Penn State, at UMass, trying to get to the next level, but now you're a content creator, right? Yeah. And we talk about this a lot. Like, you are running a business just like you would if you were an athlete off the field.
Yeah, it's a good point about the athletes becoming creators and really building a brand for themselves. My biggest regret, one of them from my playing career, is that I didn't create content when I was playing. I posted, you know, like the one Instagram post every 3 weeks where like you're walking on the field and you think you look good, but I didn't post any content at all of me, of the journey or what it was like in my day-to-day life or what it was like in my recruiting process. And I waited till I was done playing. And the reality is, it's a little bit harder when you're done playing to get people to follow you, a little bit harder to get a call back, a little bit harder to get brands to work with you. You can still do it, and I've done it, but I tell athletes all the time to create content when you're still relevant. You, as an athlete, you may never be as relevant as you are in this very moment ever again. So take advantage of that. And then, you know, to your point, Alex, about like how I pivoted off the field, I saw the change in media and athlete-driven content. I saw Pat McAfee's deal and J.J. Redick and what all these guys were doing who were current or former players, Draymond Green. Fans don't want to hear from traditional media anymore. They want to hear from content creators and the men and women who actually were on the field and lived it. And when that shift in media happened, and when NIL happened, where it became cool for athletes to be able to do podcasts. Like, when I was playing, if I would have told Bill O'Brien or James Franklin I was going to start a podcast in 2016, they would have laughed me out of the room. But now everyone wants a podcast, right? It's changed and they're allowed to do it. And there's a huge opportunity for content creators and for athletes to replace traditional media, like traditional written newspapers, traditional television, network TV, and because attention's online and on cell phones.
I think the great part about sports media too is anyone can do it, and anyone can really start from nothing and build their own platform just by going to sporting events, from showing behind the scenes, from maybe grabbing a player for a quick interview. It's all about these little moments, and it doesn't have to be a huge production. You don't already have to have a huge following, but like once you make a video and it pops off, to like take advantage of that and continue building. And it's a lot of trial and error. And like at first I thought, okay, let me ask the more serious questions to these athletes. And I think they're extremely interesting, but from like a content standpoint, they weren't performing as well. So then I started asking the lifestyle questions, maybe some funny questions that they wouldn't particularly get. Like I asked Joe Burrow what he uses in his hair, and that was like a huge viral video. And it was because people were like, okay, like that's something I would want to know. It's fun. So I think there's just a lot of different entry points, whether you are the face of your channel or if you're just asking an athlete a question behind the scenes. There's just so many different ways to get into this space, and it is still very new, so it's a good space to be in.
100%. And what was the moment, it was probably different points of life for each of you, that you realized, okay, I'm creating content, I built this audience, but now this can be my full-time job. What was that moment for each of you?
Yeah, I think pretty early on, I realized that there was an area in the, you know, I chose the niche really of college football when I started and chose to be very targeted in that approach. I knew right away, once videos started getting some views and I started, you know, when you get like your first, the first time I got recognized in public where it wasn't like, oh, the football player, it was the TikToker, you know, that was an interesting moment where I realized this is getting traction. And I felt like there was a void in kind of that young college football space where you had a lot of older broadcasters that were on network television for a while, but you didn't have a young voice speaking to Gen Z and millennials about the sport. And when I first did my first few brand deals and had some opportunities and worked with some of the, whether it's gaming or fantasy companies, and saw how much there was companies out there who wanted attention on social media and wanted new users that could be driven, that's when I realized that I need to go all in on this, right? Like, when you strike gold, keep digging. And I felt like I did, and just kind of went all in and started posting even more content and invested in a team to make sure I could do it efficiently.
Yeah, at first I would have said in high school, like when I first started doing my first brand deals and I learned that you can make money from doing this, that was like a crazy concept to me, and I would have never guessed that was even a possibility. But at that point, I still like that my long-term plan wasn't to do social media. I wanted to study marketing and do something in business, who knows. But then coming here and starting to get more into the sports content, going to my first Super Bowl, more opportunities started coming, MLB All-Star Weekend. And I mean, I think like a lot of people say, when you're doing a job that you love, like you're never actually working, you're doing what you love and there's benefits to it. So I think now that I'm able to go to these events and do these things that I never would have dreamed of, that's like, I'm all in and I'm excited to just keep going along with the wave and see what comes up. I think that like, I don't have an exact plan of where I want this to go, but I'm taking it day by day, and hopefully, whether it's me working for an ESPN or a bigger network or me just continuing to build my own channel, like, it's exciting to see that there are a lot of different possibilities that can come from this, but it 100% has led to a career that I think will keep going for a while.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've noticed, you mentioned ESPN or these big media, you know, companies, I've seen that right now all these big networks and companies, they're looking at this next generation of digital talent for their business. They're saying, okay, we have our traditional talent that covers the game, that's on the broadcast, that does the pregame show, does the postgame show, but a lot of those people don't have as big of a social audience. So the companies like ESPN, Fox, Turner, Bleacher Report, they're looking at this next wave and saying, okay, why wouldn't we want to bring someone in that has hundreds of thousands of new fans, hundreds of thousands of younger fans? So the disruption that's happening right on the ground with Adam or Katie, like day to day in the content, that's creating so many like waves across the entire industry. Every single league, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, David talked about NASCAR today. Every single league, brand, team, property is saying, okay, what is our Gen Z, what is our influencer approach? Because they want to get younger and they need to keep growing their fan base. So I just find it fascinating that you guys you're at the front lines, right, of disrupting the sports industry. Like, what does that feel like to feel or to see that impact and that disruption happening like right in front of you?
Yeah, I think what you just said is the model has been shifted on its head, because it used to be where you got into television and then you built a large following because you were on TV all the time. That's how most people you see on TV built their followings online. But now it's kind of flipped, where you have a lot of people, and it's the approach I took and the approach that Katie's taking, is that you build a following online and then get opportunities in television. Like, I didn't go to school for broadcasting. I never thought I'd be a broadcaster, but you know, the way I got in at CBS and started calling games on CBS was someone saw my content, had some conversations, like, maybe this guy could be a broadcaster, and it started there. So every opportunity started with the content. I think it's cool to see that shift. There will always be room for that. You know, network television is not going anywhere. It's always going to be the most powerful thing. I think cable is obviously becoming more, you know, less subscribers and having some issues. And that's where you see the digital platforms and like ESPN Plus and things like that. But I think the way that social is impacting everything is not going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, and your social media platform really is a representation of what you can do. And even if it's you posting like a reel of you broadcasting and just showing off what you can do so that if a bigger network looks at your page, they have an idea of like, one, your work ethic and what you're willing to put into this and like how passionate you are about it, but also your talent and what you're capable of doing. I think that's, yeah, adding on to Adam, he's like right on. I mean, it really is every opportunity I've gotten has been through what I've built. And the more you do, like the more opportunities come from it. And what I meant to say on the last question is I think the moment was, so my freshman year in April, I was announced as the first ever social media correspondent for the NFL. And it was with the Washington Commanders, which is my home team. And like, that's how new this space is. Now there's more correspondents and the NFL is working with so many different social media content creators, same with the MLB and the NBA and all of these different leagues, but it's really new. Like this is still like, if you want to get into it, you're still going to be at the forefront.
Yeah, one thing I want to add for just for the audience, the ways to get in aren't just being the talent, right? You don't have to be in front of the camera to be part of or participate in this world of content, right? I mean, Adam, how many people working for you right now?
I mean, a handful, definitely like probably five or six. There's a few that are full-time. Noah's right there in the front row with a camera. I mean, he works full-time. Definitely I've invested in a team to make sure. And I think, like I said, the way I kind of create content is different than some other content creators. Brad Crouch right there in the front row. Like he creates content different than I do, where, you know, I also do a lot of other things where I'm broadcasting and working in business and things like that. So I had to make the decision to invest in a team to really create the content for me and edit it behind the scenes and figure out what we want to post. And I do think that the trade-off is that it sometimes may feel a little bit less authentic. Like I'm not the one actually editing the video, or, you know, Katie walks in here and she's filming content the whole time, right? Because she's like trying to post everything. And I think that that's an area I could be better. And I think there's trade-offs in like, do you have a team produce your content? And that's like the Gary Vee model, right? Like he has a team that follows him around and produces it that way. But yeah, there's tons of opportunities to work with creators and influencers. And I mean, Katie has a team too, like, you know, working with you and the agent side of it and trying to figure out the management side. There's tons of ways to get into it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention it because I think that sometimes it's daunting, right? You look at someone who might have millions of followers already and you're like, well, how do I even get into it, right? And if you want to be the talent, then Katie's been creating content since middle school, right? So there isn't an overnight success, right? Overnight success takes long time to find that overnight, you know, to have that success. So for other people that are thinking, like, you can get into the sales side of it, you can be selling these brand opportunities for the talent, you can get into the marketing. There's now, even on the legal side, right? I talk to a lot of different lawyers who they were creating their own practice because they're like, okay, this economy, this creator economy is so large that they want to be an expert in the creator space from a legal side. So there's like a plethora of opportunity, and I think it's important for all the students here that are thinking about this, right? Or they want to get into the sports industry. 5 years ago, if you wanted to get into the sports industry, the creator economy wasn't really an option to get in. Now, Major League Baseball has an influencer division. The NFL has an influencer division. The NBA has an influencer division. Every single big sporting event has influencers that are coming to those events now, and it's just changing every single day, and it's changing at a rapid rate.
And what you do as an agent, I mean, you should probably explain that. Like, it's a pretty cool thing. Like day to day, you work with creators, and I've created really a niche of not repping athletes, not repping NIL, but like working with social media influencers in a lot of different spaces, I think.
Guys, I've been looking for a long time for the best way to fire on sports. I've tried sports books, I've tried the fantasy apps, I've tried everything. I finally found it. It is PrizePicks, the best way to make money on sports. And the best part, you can get a free $100 bonus from PrizePicks by using my code AdamB or the link in the description. On PrizePicks, you pick players instead of teams. So if you know sports, feel like you know how players are going to perform, you can make tons of money with that $300 bonus I just gave you. And I think picking players is way easier than having to decide what teams are going to win. For example, each player has a set stat projection for each game. So it may say Steph Curry, 28 points. I pick higher or lower than that on 28 points. So if I think he's going to have higher, I pick higher. If he hits, you win. Price Picks is legal in most of the U.S., including California, Texas, and it is the easiest app to use if you're trying to fire on sports. So get that free $100 bonus with my code AdamB or link in the description. And guys, supporting my sponsors for this podcast helps me out a ton. So please go click that link in my description. Use my code AdamB when you download Price Picks. Get the bonus and show support to the Next Step podcast, everything I'm doing. Appreciate y'all and appreciate Price Picks for sponsoring the pod.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I could touch on that a little bit. So I came from the traditional athlete space. I worked for 35 Ventures, which is Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman's media business, Boardroom, and all the other properties that they have going on. And when I was there, it was amazing to work with Kevin Durant, right? How many people know Kevin Durant in this room, right? Everyone. And when people would ask me, what do you do? And I said, I was working for Kevin Durant. It was like, oh my God, that's so exciting. That's amazing. Then I saw this opportunity with digital talent. I was like, okay, to me, these in 5-10 years, these digital creators will be the next Kevin Durant in a different way. I thought it was new. I thought it was exciting. So I decided to start my own agency. It's called Snapback Agency, where we represent digital talent in the sports space. My job day to day is to find creators like Adam and Katie and find them opportunities. So I'm talking to all the big brands, Gatorade, Verizon, Microsoft, the NFL, NBA, and I'm pitching them and saying, hey, to what I was saying earlier, do you want to get younger and do you want a new fan base? And a lot of times they're saying yes, and then we find meaningful and authentic opportunities for partnering. A huge category right now, which was talked about earlier, is sports betting and fantasy. That's like one of the biggest categories of our business, because if you look at DraftKings, FanDuel, Underdog, Prize Picks, Better, Sleeper, all of these businesses, they need to acquire users. There's so many ways to acquire users, but a huge way that they can acquire these new customers is through digital talent. And so my job is to source these opportunities. I am not in front of the camera. I'm not doing the content. I have terrible content ideas, but I love the behind the scenes, right? I look at, you heard from Eric earlier, who's an NFL agent, right? His world has been around for a while, and I was talking to him. This world of creators is literally the exact same thing, right? He's sourcing contracts, but a side of his business is sourcing all the marketing deals for the players. All those marketing brands that want to work with NFL or NBA talent are now coming to me and to other managers and agencies and saying, I don't want to work with the NBA player that's going to post one time, not be authentic, doesn't know how to use Instagram, doesn't want to make a revision, doesn't care about the content. I want to work with someone like Adam or someone like Katie who's going to take the opportunity and like really go all in on it. And brands notice that. They care about that type of authenticity, and they care about that process. So yeah, there's so many opportunities in this space. I appreciate you asking me a question, Adam, about it. But yeah, what from a brand side, like what do you guys think about when you have all these different opportunities? How do you source what opportunity is good for your brand? How do you source if your audience is going to care about the brand? Talk a little bit about that side.
You want to start? You get more opportunities than me. So.
Sure. I think a lot of it really does have to be authentic to yourself. And I think a lot of people catch on when you're promoting a product or you're working with a brand that you don't actually care about. And then it ends up hurting you because you're selling something that you might not actually use. So then the next time that you do want to work with a brand, like it's like the boy who cried wolf. Like, do you actually use it? And I mean, it's very easy to tell. So I think like for me, I really stress working with companies that I actually enjoy, like Celsius. I was a huge fan of Celsius before I ever got a partnership with them. Same with Lululemon. That was like my dream collaboration. And then it ended up happening. And I think a lot of like the brand partnerships I've also done have stemmed from me posting about it without me having any sort of commitment. There's no paycheck. I'm just posting about it because I love it, and they notice that, and then they'll present me with an opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. You know, Alex and I just worked for the last month on a deal in the fantasy betting space, and of so many of the conversations that we had, we were talking daily about it. Seems like for weeks now. You know, it was a big decision, multiple year deal, the biggest deal I've ever done in my life, and you know, we're talking about does it which brand aligns more with your followers and the content you've already done and the brands you've already worked with. And if we go to this company, how does that appear for your audience? How does it appear in the future when you work with other brands? You know, and what's it look like if you're bouncing around to different fantasy companies at the same year from year to year? So I think being authentic is super important. And the reality is these brands all want something in return, right? They don't, most of them are actually direct response. Like they don't just want eyeballs and impressions. They want you to drive users, and they track all that. They track it through links, they track it through clicks, they track it through codes and cookies on the internet. So you have to be able to drive users or brands won't pay you for your posts anymore. So making sure that your audience actually wants to hear from the and use the brands you're promoting is super important, or you won't get those brand deals in the future.
Yeah, thank you guys for sharing. What's an example? You mentioned Celsius, you mentioned this deal we've done, but what's an example of a brand that it just felt like the perfect partnership for you, and maybe tell us why?
I don't know why Celsius always just comes to mind, because I am addicted to caffeine, but...
All right, maybe not a brand, but what, from a sports standpoint, events in sports, you guys both travel a lot. What's an event in the sports space that you went to that was a great experience? What were you doing at that event? And just talk about that a little bit.
I'll answer your first question and that one. I would say the one that made the most sense recently is started work with State and Liberty, like their suits, because I'm wearing one right now and I wear them on TV all the time. So that was a really like authentic, I'm already wearing their products, so why don't we try to get a partnership or some kind of deal with them. So that one felt super authentic. When you're already using the product, it makes it much easier. It's funny, I actually like got on a call with State and Liberty and they could look up my like how much money I spent at the stores. And they're like, okay, most influencers come on here and say, we love your product, but we can see they've never actually purchased a product from us because we can track their email. So that was super authentic. For me, the Super Bowl is always the best event because it's where everything that happens in sports media is happening that week at the Super Bowl. So, you know, this past year I was at the Super Bowl for a week and had meetings with TV networks and brands, and Alex and I are meeting about deals, and there's just so everyone's in the same spot, which is so rare in today's world where you're meeting on Zoom all the time. You can get a lot done at the Super Bowl and network and meet a ton of people.
Allstate, that's a really good company I worked with this past fall as their on-the-road college football correspondent. So I went to the SEC championship and then I watched Washington and Texas play, and that was very very authentic to myself because I love traveling. I love college football. And then I also have actually been using Allstate. Like that's always been my insurance, my family's insurance. So it was the perfect match. And I think like my main goal when working with companies and brands is to over deliver so that another deal can come from it. Because like when I'm working with the brand, like the first thing I think of is, okay, how can I go above and beyond so that they want to present me with something a more longer term deal. And with brands, I think I always try to take the longer term partnerships, or if it starts as like maybe a one-off deal, how can I turn this into a 6-month partnership, a 1-year partnership, 2 years, because that's, you already know what you're going to be doing for the next bit of time and it's already locked in. So no matter what, you have that partnership instead of taking something one time and then maybe not coming back again. I think there's less value in that. But Super Bowl, I think, like, I wasn't even going to go this year because, like, it was kind of last minute. And, I mean, it comes down to that event in itself is worth going just for the networking. Everyone is there, and the hands you shake, like, maybe something won't come of it right away, but in 6 months, they might think of you for something. And that's happened so many times is it's, I met someone a year ago and then they say, oh yeah, like we were talking and I think this would be perfect for you. So I think like events like this, really talk to people and get contact information and figure out ways that you can work together, because that is how you get the job and how you get the opportunities is through people you meet, whether or not you are posting on social media. And I feel like in all aspects of internships, jobs after college, like talking to my friends who are doing completely different things, it's all networking.
I love that. And I love it because Adam and Katie are here saying that they both have millions of followers and an audience, right? And they have ton of brand opportunity. And they're telling you that they'll, Celsius or a suit company, that they are authentically posting about it before there's a paycheck, right? And I think it's relatable to everything in this industry, right? The sports industry is extremely, extremely competitive. So if you're a student and there's not an exact opportunity with the NBA or the NFL or a team that you like, find a way to showcase your value to that business before the opportunity presents itself, because the opportunity might not present itself. And by you, you know, I was talking to a student earlier and I said, you know, David, the owner of the Sixers, was up here speaking, and he's talking about all these organizations in the city of Philadelphia, right, that they're trying to partner with. And I was sitting there, and my thought was they mentioned UPenn, they mentioned Temple, they mentioned Villanova. David didn't mention Penn State being one of those organizations that they're focused on. And my thought was, yeah, it's 3 hours from the city of Philadelphia, but I imagine there's a lot of 76ers fans that go to Penn State. If I was a student and the owner of the 76ers was here speaking about that today, I would literally go back to my dorm, or I would go talk to my friends and say, what could we do for the 76ers? Like, what's an opportunity? Do they need more tickets? Do they need more sponsorship? Do they need more engagement? And I would just come up with something. And I'm probably giving you guys the answer. I'm not going to do this, so someone should. Like, I would reach out to them next week and say, hey, like, the Sports Business Conference put our brain together. We came up with an idea. Like, we want to have a partnership with the Sixers. I guarantee that he will at least hear out that opportunity. Even if it doesn't happen, he's going to say, oh my gosh, they put a case study together. They put a pitch deck together. They put a marketing plan together. If he's not going to go on board for that exact partnership, he's going to say, I want to hire that student or that group of students that put that together. So it's very relatable what you guys are saying. And to hear it from both of you, like, I work with a lot of talent and I see a lot of talent that literally won't take that same approach, right? They'll say, you have to pay me, otherwise I'm not going to post. I don't always agree with that mentality. I think you should pay it forward. And to your point, Katie, you're going to get the long, like, they're going to say, oh my gosh, you drink Celsius every day. We can't just do a one-off partnership with you. We need to have a year-long partnership. We need to sign you for multiple years, right? So I'm really happy you guys shared that, because I think it's super relatable to students and people trying to get into this industry.
Yeah, do things for free. I go to events all the time to capture content and for the access. Like, you don't have to, there doesn't always have to be an incentive, like, especially with money, because, like, the opportunities, those, like, you can't put a price on that. And, like, I think especially in the influencer world, that is the mindset of a lot of people, is, okay, like, how much am I going to get paid for doing this? But if you have the chance to go to the Super Bowl or, like, go to a cool sporting event, just go. And, like, yeah, make, like, pitch yourself. Like, make a, reach out to people, email. Like, people reach out to me all the time, and I answer, I'd say, like, 90% of the time, where I try to answer everyone I can just for advice. And I've reached out to people like Jenny Taft and Lauren Gardner and a lot of different people that are in the broadcasting space for advice, and, like, asking them what I should do. And I spoke to Erin Dolan, and she gave me the advice that I should stay in the lane that I'm in and, like, take advantage of it before I even, like, try to pursue the broadcasting world. Because she, like, if I'm at the forefront of it, she was like, stay and just, like, keep pushing where you are. And, like, that was some of the greatest advice I, like, could have gotten. And I really listened to that. So, yeah, reach out to people, because there are nice people that will help.
Yeah. And, like, the DMs are so powerful. Like, most of the people I've hired on my team have been from DMing me and asking for opportunities. Or I've done brand deals where I've just DM'd brands and said, hey, like, I love your product. I've been using it. I'd love to work with you. And, like, most people can see their Instagram DMs. It's like an avenue to talk to tons of people, famous brands around the country. And just, like, showing up and putting in that effort sometimes and reaching out and asking is super powerful. And to your point, Katie, about the, you're over-delivering on brand deals. You know, I've tried, like, if I sign a brand deal to post 2 times, I always try to post 3, 4, or 5 times about it, because just putting in that extra effort, even if you're not getting compensated for it exactly, or it impacts your rates and people are worried, like, I don't care about any of that. I want to over-deliver, and that translates to every part of life, even if you're not a content creator. If you're doing an internship, show up and work an extra 2 hours, even though you're not getting paid for it. Show up early, show up late. Most of life is just about showing up. And it's super powerful when you're there all the time and you're putting in the extra effort, whether it's brand deals, whether it's work, whether it's internships.
Amazing. All right. Well, I think we're going to transition to audience Q&A. So let's see if we have any questions.
Would you say there was ever like a point in like your career where you kind of felt like you had hit a certain ball or count or like some sort of milestone where you felt like you were more under a microscope and you like weren't able to post stuff that you wanted to post?
I feel like I've always been under a bit of a microscope because I was doing it in high school, and for a while, like, I mean, for a while I cared about what my classmates are saying about me and my peers are saying about me, and I'm sure people have stuff to say about me now, but like, I, at this point, like, I'm so, like, I have tunnel vision and like none of that really affects me anymore, but I've just always been very cautious about like, I mean, I'm a student at Penn State, but I'm not going to post myself going out. And like, I mean, that's not me anyways. Like I'll go out occasionally, but like, that's not who I am. But I do always have to be very careful, not even because I feel like I'm at this crazy point in my career, but I think like for anyone, there's always cameras and people talk. And I think it's just better safe than sorry in like all aspects, especially online, like posting on like a private story, like someone's taking a picture of it on another phone or screenshotting it, and then it's going to get around. So I've just always been very aware of it. And like, my dad is like he's not like a big social media guy. Like, he's a lawyer. So he's always kind of given me that advice from a young age, and he was right. And like, I think it's helped me because I'm not worried about something coming out. And I think even like that, like anxiety, that would be hard in any job aspect, is like, oh, something's gonna get out eventually. Like, I don't feel like there's anything that could come out and I would be worried. Like, I've kept it clean.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Just always cautious because of the brands, because of the companies, because of the broadcasting, what you're posting, and making sure that you're putting a good image out there. You know, and like, my mom follows me and stuff like that. So gotta be careful there. But you know, you mentioned kind of like caring what people think when you post. I remember when I first posted my first ever TikTok, being so nervous about how it would be received, and I was like talking about my career and getting a little vulnerable in it, and just worried about like, who's gonna send this in the group chats, like, who's gonna make fun, like, Adam's really trying to do TikTok, like, is he falling off that much? That's what he's doing. But then like, I, once you realize that, number one, if anyone's actually like being negative about you on social media and commenting and saying bad things, and like, they're below you anyway. Like, no one who's successful is actually rooting for you to fail. So like, just ignore those people. And then two, like, it's really liberating when you realize that everyone thinks that everyone's thinking about them all the time. And then I realize like, no one's actually thinking about you, you know, and even if they hate your video for 10 seconds, they go right back to thinking about themselves right after. So when you realize that, you're like, no one's actually thinking about me anyway. And it allows you to post what you want, you know, target who you want, work with the brands you want, and not really care what everyone thinks, because they're not really thinking about you.
That is incredible, incredible advice, and everyone should take that and repeat that, because it's not just for being a content creator. I'll just add quickly, like, how many people have Instagram in this room? Okay, how many people have Snapchat? Okay, TikTok? Wow, TikTok, kind of surprised. All right, maybe it should get banned. And no,
that will be bad for business.
But all of you are on social media, right? So if you're applying for a job, I remember this when I was applying, the first thing that the employer does is look you up on Google, first thing they do. So I would go through that process. The next thing they're going to do now is Instagram, maybe TikTok, right? So just because you don't have even 1,000 followers doesn't mean you shouldn't be conscious about what is your personal brand, because you don't have to be famous. You don't have to have notoriety for people to want. If you're going to work for the Philadelphia Eagles, the minute you step into that building, you're representing that team. And they don't want anything that's not going to be about that team and positive and brand safe. And they're just not going to want that. So I would definitely be conscious of it, because I've heard many stories where people don't realize that what they may have posted years ago or what's on their Facebook from 5-10 years ago or their Twitter, like, it comes around, and now is the time to prioritize that. So glad you said that. Next question, Brad.
Adam, you mentioned that you are an entrepreneur. So outside of just content, what else do you work on?
Great question. So I started a media company called Mercury. about 2 years ago, co-founded it with two others, and we're a college sports media company, create content networks with athletes using NIL at the biggest schools in the country, including Penn State. So a lot of my day, you know, Alex, we were talking about this the other day, a lot of my day, even though it appears I'm posting content all day, a lot of it's actually operating, like being an operator of businesses. And then really, like the I mentioned with the personal content, is operating that part of the business. And then there's different verticals that I always try to think where there's opportunity. Like one opportunity I've been talking about, again, with Alex, is the new NCAA football video game's coming out, right? And that's going to be a hot topic all over the country. And everyone's trying to play the game that hasn't been out for 10 years. So how can I attack that vertical, because it's football, because it ties into my audience, and like thinking about starting to play NCAA football live on Twitch, right? Like, I'm not a gamer, but I could bring value to people playing that game online. So always thinking of new opportunities to attack from a content standpoint that leads to opportunities from business and brand deals.
Yeah, I mean, it's always whoever is first, they're going to succeed the most. And like, when YouTube Shorts came out, for example, and Instagram Reels and Snapchat Spotlight, a lot of people wait to see if it's going to be successful before they dive in. But if you just take a chance and you put in that extra effort without knowing any sort of outcome, like, that's the reason I was able to grow all of my social media platforms instead of, but at first it was just TikTok. But it's all through taking a chance on these new platforms that people weren't thrilled about at first. Like when Instagram switched to having the video component, people didn't love it at first. And I was probably irritating everyone that was following me. But at the end of the day, like, it now people love Instagram Reels, and it helped me in the long run. So definitely, like, be at the forefront and take chances without knowing if it'll succeed. And oftentimes it might fail, but at least you like took the chance instead of having to wait it out.
Yes.
My question's for Katie. How do you find confidence being the youngest in a lot of the rooms that you're in, and also being a female in a lot of male-dominated spaces?
At first, it definitely took me just like pushing myself outside of my comfort zone. I remember my first Super Bowl, I went to the Rams press conference, and I 100% was probably the youngest. There weren't a lot of females, but that gave me, like, it made me feel empowered that I can be one of the only females and I can be a role model for these younger girls. And like, that's what I care the most about, is like, a lot of people look up to me because I am on the younger side. I am a female that has done a lot in this space. So the idea that someone can look at me and see what I'm doing and take that as motivation to start themselves, that gives me a lot of confidence.
Yep.
That you both talked about, like, it's important, you know, being a part of a brand with authenticity, like, if you've already been a part of it as well. And being that you're both, you know, Penn State alumni, like, Adam, I know you make videos with former players and current players talking about the situations and when you were at school. And Katie, you show off how awesome our whiteout games are, the atmosphere, game day feel. Do you use that, like, in your, like, current and, like, past networking? Like I'm a Penn State alumni, and it's, like, making it part of who you are as a person and how passionate it is to you?
Yeah, a lot of companies and brands, there's always someone that has some sort of Penn State connection. Like, being a Penn Stater is the best thing. And I wasn't, like, at first I didn't want to go to University of Maryland, but, like, that was the most, financially made the most sense, in-state tuition. But there's something about Penn State, and, like, we have the largest alumni network in the country. Like, use that to your advantage, because someone will know someone that went to Penn State, or someone in the room would have gone to Penn State. There's Penn Staters everywhere, especially in the sports space. Like, I can't even, like, so many people at Super Bowl had some sort of Penn State connection. So yeah, this is the best school to be at for this space.
Yeah, I'll just add, like, I've seen it, you know, Adam mentioned, I did co-found this conference in 2018. Every single year since that event, I have continued to grow my Penn State network to now I'm doing business with a lot of people that went to Penn State, and Penn Staters like to do business with Penn Staters, right? So it makes it so much easier, right? You have common ground to talk about. We want to help each other. So I say to younger students now, Penn State, that name and the logo and the colors, it is a multi-billion dollar brand that you can attach yourself to, right? So every person you're reaching out to, I would mention Penn State. Every job you want to get, I would mention Penn State. And then don't stop that, right? Once you get the job, you're probably going to be at a company where there's Penn Staters, or your next opportunity is going to be Penn Staters. I mean, now that I'm working with Adam and Katie on the business side, Penn State is like the ultimate resource. It's the ultimate hook to get people interested. You know, for Super Bowl, Katie had an opportunity to do stuff with Fanatics. This guy that was an advisor to this conference spoke one of the first years. His name's Brandon Williams, works at Fanatics, Penn Stater, loves Penn State more than anything. He basically organizes and helps put together the Fanatics Super Bowl party, the hardest ticket, the hardest event to get into. And I called him and I said, hey, like Katie Feeney, she's a Penn Stater. She's going to be at Super Bowl. Here's what she does. Here's the opportunity. Here's the value she can bring. It was the easiest yes that I've ever received because he wanted to help someone who went to Penn State. So it is the best thing that you guys all have here, and I would just leverage it and just continue to push it forward. And then give back, right? Once you get your job or you're in your career, remember the people that helped you, right? And then you're the one that's helping the students and the people to come.
My God. I would say basically like, there's a Penn State person at a C-suite level or a leadership level at every single big company in the country. Like there just is. At every TV network, I meet people who are Penn State alums. I mean, we had Amanda Gifford was here today, runs all college football at ESPN, Penn State alum. Like just people you don't even know or expect are in these big important roles. So if you want opportunities, find their email address, find them on Instagram, find their Facebook, like find them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a powerful tool. If you put in the effort, there is a way to get in touch with these people. And I don't mean like reach out to two of them. I mean, reach out to like 50 to 100 of them and you'll get some responses. It's all about putting in the effort and finding, you know, once if they're a Penn State alum, you have that intro in the email. You have that intro in your first message and it makes that warm connection.
There's a reason you're not at the UMass Sports Business Conference, right?
They don't have one, but yeah, exactly. I mean, this alumni base is so powerful. And it happened all, like you mentioned, all over the country. I'll be in California and there's Penn State people that come up. I mean, it's really powerful and you got to take advantage of it.
All right, we have time for one more question. Yes?
How do you two handle pushback from people that say that content creation isn't a job or it doesn't take any skill?
I think it's a tricky thing to kind of like navigate because in many ways, like I have no complaints with what I'm doing. And it's hard for me to see creators that do complain about this space because I'm so fortunate. But there is a business to it. So there's so much more that goes in that you don't see on camera. But again, it's not even something that like as a content creator, I feel like I should explain because it comes across the wrong way. So I kind of like, I personally try to stay away from even like talking about that because like this, it's a lot of work, but again, it's work I love. So I'm grateful to be doing it.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing. Like it's a lot of work. I would challenge people who think they work hard to like go spend a week or a month with Katie, like flying all over the country. And, you know, she loves it and I love it, but it's a lot of work. Like you're constantly thinking of ideas. You're talking to brands. You're doing a lot of things. It doesn't feel like work because you love it and you're in it and it's what you want to do and you're passionate about it. Like I am actually really blessed that I'm thankful that I get to wake up every day and do things that I love to do and talk about a sport I love, but it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And for people that don't think it's hard work, like come shadow for a day and see if it's hard work.
All right. I think that's it. Thank you guys. Appreciate the time. Adam and Katie.
All right.